Hello and welcome to Back Chat, your podcast all about scoliosis, yoga and back care. My name is Christine Jaregi-Berry. I'm a yoga teacher, creator of the Yoga Berry Yoga for Scoliosis community and YouTube channel, and this show is all about supporting you on your scoliosis journey. So if you're looking for practical advice and inspiration on how to manage the condition with yoga and movement, then you're in the right place. Okay, so welcome everybody. We are talking about strength training today because that is something that you guys are interested in, and I see lots of you already tuning in. So I've got the lovely Caroline Friedman. A lot of you know her already because she has been a guest teacher in the Shine membership a few times. So definitely my Shine members will know her. And Caroline has been a guest on Backchat as well a couple of times. So welcome. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Christine. Thank you for inviting me on to talk about weights and safety and scoliosis.
Exactly. That is really what you're the expert in, obviously. So I've got a few people asking questions here. Anita's asking, will this be recorded? Yes, we are recording this. This is live as well. So you can watch it afterwards, watch it over and over again if you want to. Laura is saying hi from Buenos Aires as well.
Oh, hi.
So we've got an international audience. Now, Caroline, do you want to start just by telling us a little bit? I know you've told us your story already here on the back chat, but not everybody would have heard it. But do you want to give us kind of a brief summary of who you are and what you do?
Yes. So my name is Caroline Friedman. I'm author of the Scoliosis Handbook of Safe and Effective Exercises. And if you just have scoliosis or you've had surgery as well. My background is my scoliosis was discovered at 15 in an exercise class by my best friend, who also has scoliosis, and she's also a personal trainer, coincidentally. I ended up having fusion surgery when I was 20 because my curve was 78-86 double curvature, so it had fallen like a tree, really. I didn't have bracing. I wonder if I'd been offered it, that would have helped. Who knows? I then had surgery again at 22. I did a back bend in an exercise class with a Harrington rod and obviously wasn't very bright because it snapped. So I wouldn't recommend doing that movement. Yeah. Then I had the rod taken out, two short rods put in. I had my ribs were initially, right now they're in the center of my body, but at one point the center was here. Mm-hmm. And I was rotated quite a lot. I had my ribs taken, five ribs taken out, and then another two, and used the bone grafting. And then I had another surgery at 48 when my spine had decided to rotate, and I had, it's kind of called shock back, which is quite an ugly term, but I had the transverse processes of the spine had turned around. So I had the bone sticking out of my back. So it was quite uncomfortable sitting against a chair. Mm-hmm. And I was very lucky to get surgery for that and had a couple more ribs removed, which didn't grow back. So I have a bit of a hole there, which is fine because the only time it bothers me is if I ski and then I just put a protective kind of big elastic belt brace thing around me. So that's my surgery story.
Yeah.
And getting strong, I was told to get super strong before my surgeries, after my surgeries, and then when I wanted to have children. So I trained really, really hard. And probably in those days, there were no guidelines at all. I really struggled to find the right physio, but I did. Found an amazing physiotherapist who helped me. And an incredible personal trainer who got me to be a trainer. And that was the late Nikki Waterman. She was really inspirational, incredible for me, and just pushed me and said, well, you've got all this knowledge. You should take it out there. So that is what I did. And I've been training for 28 years and probably 25 with seeing people with scoliosis and training them just because they have scoliosis, and I get them and I understand it because I understand when they're talking about pain and position. And obviously if they've had surgery, then I also can relate to that in a way that another trainer may not be able to because they haven't had the lived experience.
Yeah, absolutely. So so when you had that surgery, or I mean, I know you had multiple surgeries, but when you were told kind of you need to get strong, you need to start doing something, was there kind of a, you said there's no guidelines really, but were you kind of scared to get started, or did you kind of just throw yourself into it?
Well, I've been exercising since I was about 14.
Right.
So I loved exercise. Didn't really like sport at school, but I loved exercising. My physio said, get in the gym, get strong. And because my surgeon had also said before I had the surgery, I want you, you need to get strong. Really super strong. So before I had my son, and my daughter, I would say I was probably at athletic level of strength. Probably, like I said, there were no guidelines. I was probably lifting a little bit too much.
Yeah.
I could have possibly taken it down a bit, but all of this experience has helped me to help others.
And was there kind of something that you had to relearn after the surgery? Because I would imagine, because you have a long fusion, isn't it?
Yeah, I've got my fusion is from T2 down to L1.
So down to L1. Yeah.
So that's
about. Yeah.
So
it's basically most of your thoracic spine, yes. And then a little bit of the lumbar spine as well. So
yeah,
I would imagine. I would imagine doing anything overhead, you had to kind of change your technique,
yes.
Possibly a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. I mean, even with somebody with scoliosis who is trying to do a shoulder press, for example, because let's just talk about it as a global scoliosis, anyone who's had surgery or hasn't had surgery, because we are not symmetrical, if we're trying to do, for example, a machine in the gym, which is different to free weights, so a machine in the gym, to push up, you're never going to be completely symmetrical.
Yes.
So you can end up compromising and using other muscles and pushing your back maybe into a position that isn't very comfortable and isn't beneficial. So yes, I mean, I would say a machine shoulder press is something that I always say to my clients, you don't need to do it. You can do other things. There are other, and I think this is really important. There are so many different exercises for muscle groups that you don't need to do something that is going to give you pain and discomfort.
Yeah.
As you know, with your yoga, there's so many adaptations that you can do that where you're not contorting your body into a particular position.
Yeah. So let's talk about this then. Which are kind of the ones that are... So I do actually, there's a lot of people I speak to, they have shoulder issues.
Yes.
And it tends to be the convex side of the thoracic. So it tends to be, if it's a right thoracic, it tends to be the right shoulder that is causing issues.
Yes.
So what are kind of the things that you would, say maybe just be a little bit like the shoulder press, for example? Which are the kind of machines we're maybe staying away from or not straight away?
I would say stay away. Mainly that's the upper body, the shoulder press.
Yeah.
Rotation.
Okay.
Machines. So if you haven't had scoliosis, a surgery, generally the consultants will say, well, do what you like.
Yes. So
as we know, that they're not living it.
No,
they
just
existed
when you need surgery, isn't it?
Exactly. They're fixing, and it's incredible.
Yeah.
And I'm really lucky to have had the surgery because I needed it. But they're not living it. And I would say a rotation machine, especially if you've had the surgery, I would say completely avoid it.
Okay. Yeah.
Because your rotation, I mean, if you look this side, I can get to here, and this side, I only get to here, which is also a problem when you're driving and you're coming out of a slip road, if you're driving in the UK.
Yes.
If I'm driving abroad, I'm fine because I'm looking the other way. But this way, so I have to turn my car face to face the road, let everyone hoot me, don't care.
Yeah.
And wait until I'm confident to come out.
Yeah.
So you just have to hope you're not behind me.
Stay away from Caroline when she's driving.
Yes. So the other exercises I would say to avoid are I don't like leg press at all.
Okay.
Leg press machine.
Interesting. Yeah.
Don't like the leg press. It's if you've got it loaded up with weight, you're coming back with your knees.
Yeah.
And you're compressing your spine.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not a fan. And also there's also people that the instructors will give you exercises where you're just using one leg and then the other leg. And then the tendency is to imbalance your hips. If you think about it, you're being just completely squashed up and compressed.
Yes. Yeah.
And if you watch people on it, they're kind of like this.
Yeah. And even without scoliosis, they have like terrible.
Exactly.
Terrible posture on those.
Yes. Yeah. Going back to the shoulders, deltoid machine. So deltoid raises with free weights.
What is that, to the side? Yeah.
Yeah. Can you see me? Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fine. Deltoid raises with a machine, I would avoid. And the reason I'd avoid it is they're normally very heavy machines, even if you've got them on zero weight. I've never ever found a machine in a gym of all different brands, so that from the top brand all the way through, that hasn't been too heavy to start with.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're pushing against it, and what often happens is you end up with really, really sore traps.
Yeah.
Really sore neck here, shoulders, and you'll feel it like the next day, and you wake up and it's like, why can't I move my neck?
Mm.
And you know that feeling when you, and it's like, it feels like the muscle, especially like you were saying on the right hand side of your, if your shoulder's coming forward, you often feel it more on that side.
On that side. Yeah. And then your neck starts to kind of, your head starts to go to the side.
Yeah, exactly. Because you're trying to, and then you give yourself another problem because your head's in the wrong place. And then you feel terrible for about, you know, a good few days before it loosens up.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. What about cardio machines? Are there any that we're kind of not doing?
Okay.
Or are you happy with them?
Okay. So here's the thing. I love the rowing machine. I'm a massive fan. As long as if you don't have a fusion, it's no problems. It's, as long as you're not moving around, you're meant to be absolutely still when you're rowing, sitting slightly back, just like a couple of centimeters, and you'll row. I don't know if you can see me like that. So a lot of people think they're on a boat and they start
going forwards and backwards. Yeah.
But I think the rower is great. With a bike, where the seat is so important, because if you're forward on a spinning bike, your shoulders are forward.
Yeah.
So I personally find there are two issues for me. And I do love cycling. Mm. And I'm not a big fan of static bike because I find it, apart from anything else, I personally find it boring, but other people love it. And everyone's got exercises they love doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like, someone else might not, and vice versa. Mm. So I would just be really wary of having the shoulders forward and having the seat at the wrong level.
Yes.
And also and having the seat too high as well as too low, because you've got your hips and they're going like this. So you've also got the pressure on your lower spine.
Hmm.
So I would just be wary and be really careful. If you really love it, see how you go. But if you're going to go to a spinning class, I would just, if you wanted to try a spinning class, I'd suggest going in there 10 minutes, telling the teacher you're going to leave after 10 minutes, not just going into an hour spinning class it'll be too much.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. I mean, you would not see me in a spinning class. I hate it.
Yeah, with you.
But I also, I mean, I can see why people enjoy it, because there's usually like up-tempo music, right? And it's really energizing and all of this. It's motivating. But you are kind of stuck in one position for that duration with your back. You're just moving your legs, really. Sometimes they make you get up and down, but still, it's you kind of, and you're stuck in a flat back situation as well, isn't it? Which is not so great. So yes. Lauren is asking elliptical. What about elliptical? So
love it.
That's love cross it. Trainer, right?
Yes,
that's
love it. One.
Yeah.
I mean, I really love it. If I haven't got an elliptical trainer in my gym, I've got the water rower.
Yeah.
Like it stands up, I can put it away. If I could have the elliptical or the cross trainer in my gym, I would have it. It's the first piece of kit I go to when I'm on holiday. That's what I'll go on.
Yeah,
it's really, really good. And but the other thing is with the ellipticals, it's really great. You can go backwards, so you're also doing your hamstrings. The other thing about being in a cycle class is you can often. I always say my best friend who's also a trainer. We can be on the beach and we can pick out every single woman who only does cycle classes because their quads are imbalanced. They're big, but their hamstrings aren't. And that is another big gripe of mine with training is when you're training, it's the whole body. Because if you're going to overtrain your quads and your glutes a week, for example, or your hamstrings a week, you're going to end up with, let's say, the glutes pulling on the lower spine, you're going to get backache.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I
like the idea of going backwards. I haven't tried that. I would try
that. Yeah, because you work your hamstrings as well. So I would say to clients, do 5 minutes backwards, 5 minutes forward, and just change around.
Yeah.
You'll see the difference. It's really good.
What about the skier?
The skier is great. Again, it's all about your positioning.
Mm.
So, sorry, I thought I knocked my dogs out and they've just come into the room.
That's all right.
Start barking.
That's all right. I'll have a look at the comments if you need to. If you need to let them out.
I'm starting to growl. She wants attention, but I might have to shove her out a minute. So apologies.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, I am. She's jumping.
Yeah,
up
no, don't,
so
don't
sorry,
worry. We'll give people a chance as well to ask any questions. So we've got the expert here who knows about all the gym equipment, because I have been going more to the gym, I would say, over the last 2-3 years. My Shine members know this because I usually talk about it, because I am getting older, obviously, as well. I am aware of how important it is to strengthen up, especially as you're going through or approaching menopause and all of that. And the building up muscle is just so important. So Laura is asking, what about running on the treadmill?
If you haven't had surgery, great. And if you have had surgery, just be a bit careful. I would maybe stay flatter rather than be tempted to go on an incline.
Yeah.
But again, it's look, I personally wouldn't do a marathon.
Okay.
I think it's much too punishing on the body.
Yeah. I mean, I have to say, even without a fusion, I find running is hard.
Yes.
Because there's so many parts of the body involved in this. Obviously, the hips are moving. We're doing this contralateral movement with the arms and the legs. It's not like you're running in a circle, obviously, but we'll always have a little bit of a rotation and imbalance. And I find, for me personally, I cannot be too long on a treadmill because I will feel it, that there will be some imbalance kind of just exaggerated because there's more impact, obviously, as well.
Yeah, I agree with you. I also think all our curves are so different.
Yeah.
I think it's a case of, I always say exercise allergy awareness. Try, if you're going to try running, don't do anything else that day. Just do that bit
then
if you're
you
in
know.
pain,
You know it's from
exactly.
that. Yeah. So Laura is saying, after running on the treadmill, my lower back aches. I have the same thing. I get the same tip thing. So Pam is saying, great tip on the elliptical. I agree as well. And then she's saying, I find the recumbent bike.
Is that
good?
The seated
I don't know
bike?
What that is.
Is that
I don't
the
know
seated
what
bike? The seated bike?
I
Pam,
don't know.
Is that right? Is that what
yeah, just maybe clarify, Pam. We don't know what it is.
I think it's the seated bike.
I'll let her answer. But yeah, okay. So we like
okay,
the elliptical.
So if it's the seated bike, which I think is what it is. Yes, I mean, that can be more comfortable for people. And if you enjoy it and it's not giving you any pain, then it's fine.
Yeah. Yes, and I think that is key, really, isn't it? So I find also, I've been really struggling with the shoulder press, actually. I've been really trying to do it because I heard it's good. I much prefer to do an assisted pull-up. I much prefer that.
Oh, yes, so on the machine, on the machine, where your knees bent. I love that.
Yeah, well, you get...
But then you're pulling down, though. You're not pushing up.
It's different, exactly. It's different.
You're doing your lats. You're not doing your shoulders.
No, exactly.
So that's shoulder press. You're using your shoulders, and when you're coming down, you're working your lats. And I do.
Yeah.
So on that one, you're coming. Yeah, you're using your lats.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Exactly.
It's great. I mean, anything that was working your lats. So I do a lot in my studio. I use the cable machine. So we're doing lat pull downs a lot.
Yeah.
And to the front as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're coming down, the bar's coming across here, and then I do an underhand grip where it's coming just to the upper chest.
Okay,
okay. So you lean back with that one, you lean back like a couple of centimetres, that's all. Looking upwards, holding your lower abs in, so important.
Yeah.
And just coming down to the upper chest and coming up without, here's the other thing, you know, when you see somebody with the pulling on the machine, keep it really controlled. And until and the general thing is with weights, if you're doing 20 reps times three, so three sets, and it's as if you're having a cup of coffee and it really doesn't do anything at all, then you can slightly increase.
Right.
But if you're finding something hard, generally, if you can't do six repetitions, the weight is way too heavy. And you don't need to do really heavy weights.
That's interesting as well. That's interesting as well, isn't it? Because the opinions on that, they kind of go, because some people say do heavy, but just do a few repetitions. But I would say that really depends on what your goal is, right?
Yes, it does. It does.
What you're wanting to get out of this. So we've got Pam saying, I'm learning about how to counter osteoporosis after diagnosis in the lumbar spine. I also have mild to moderate scoliosis, right thoracic, left lumbar, and I'm wondering how to add impact without worsening scoliosis. So I'm guessing you're picking up on what I said about running, because I said I find that difficult because it's kind of adding impact with an imbalance. But with osteoporosis, we are told that actually we need impact, right? We need, they always say go running, basically, isn't it?
Well,
any tips on that?
Yes. So I would be doing, for example, mountain climbers. So you're using your body weight.
Yeah, so body weight exercises.
Yeah, mountain climbers are quite cardio. You can always—I don't know if anyone knows what flow-in slide is. I mean, in the basic form, you could just get a couple of large floor wipes, put them on your kitchen floor, your feet on, and if you're in a plank, high plank.
Okay,
sliding the feet, and that's quite. You're building up your cardio as well, and I would say. Very gentle, you can do some, not jumps, but slight impact. So you're literally coming onto your toes and then coming down, coming up and coming down.
Yeah.
You can do that. It's load bearing, basically,
that
you need to do. For, you know, the weights are going to help lunges, squats with a weight, with a light weight. Mm-hmm. They're really good. Again, if you know, if you're back, I think the lat pull down machine, lying down with free weights, and you're doing your flies, your bent arm pullover, anything like that, and floor work, and probably what you're doing in yoga as well, or definitely what you're doing in yoga, is going to help.
We had Meredith Stevens, actually, she did a osteoporosis session in the membership, and she just said stomp. So you're like, you're like a marching and like really stomping your feet on the ground. It's different from running, but you're still getting some impact. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
So we've got a question about what about doing push-ups?
Definitely. Push-ups are great. So you can do them at all levels. If you're a beginner, start against the wall with your hands against the wall, just pushing out and in. Then you can go on to, let's just say you don't have a gym at home, you're not going to a gym, so let's go with it from there. Breakfast bar, kitchen sink, hold on to the edge, and you can do your press-ups from there. Then you can migrate down onto the floor, box press-up where your knees are bent. Then you can take it further by taking your legs further back, bringing your body forward. So your back's straight, but your knees are bent. You're on your knees.
Yeah.
And you're then doing your press up. And then you can go into a full press up. But I rarely do a full press up. You don't need to do a full press up to get the impact. But yes, one thing I would say is if you're doing a full press up, make sure those hips are slightly raised and you're not completely flat. Same with your planking. You always want to have your hips raised up, because you're going to, apart from the fact that you're taking the pressure off your lower spine, you're also engaging your lower abs much more effectively. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So what can I do to replace my shoulder press then?
You can do your deltoid raises with little weights.
So not on the machine. Even I think shoulder press with free weights is probably.
You can do that if it's not going to irritate you here.
Yeah.
I mean, I find that it really irritates. And even with the free weight for me, because I've got my fusion and also because I have my shoulder rolls forward quite a lot. As the shoulder blade goes over the ribs, and obviously it's not, you know, I'm not flat. And I don't want to put my shoulder out. So for me, I avoid it, but that's personal to me. I think you have to, you know, try it and see how you go. But again, if you haven't had surgery, it's much easier to do that shoulder press with free weights.
Yeah. Yeah. So what else? What are some kind of good upper body safe machines that kind of anybody can get started with?
The cable machine, you can do the row with the cable machine.
Yeah.
So you're working your lats. Another one, you can either do this with a free weight or with the cable machine, and that is upright row.
Yes. Okay.
And the upright row is working your trapezius muscle, which is the muscle that goes all the way along here. Now, if that's really, really weak, you can even see young people, because they're just sitting like this on their phones and their laptops and watching TV, and you can see people's heads starting to drop. And that's the trapezius muscle is one of the muscles, the main muscle that's responsible for keeping that head up of ours. And also, if you've got a weak trapezius, you often feel like your head is too heavy for your body. That I'm sure that makes sense to some people.
It does.
So because it's like quite hard to like then lift the head up. So that trapezius, working the trapezius muscle, either with a cable, so the bar will be on the floor in the gym on the machine.
Yeah.
And you would lift it and do that.
Yeah. Or you could use a kettlebell, right?
You can use a kettlebell, you can use a bar, you can use little free weights.
Yeah.
And what I would say is, if you're just starting off with that exercise, it's very effective. It works quite. I've seen clients of mine what would come into my studio with really quite a lot of fatty deposit on their back from having no tone there and yeah. from not doing anything, no posture and bad posture. And if it takes about 6 months for that to really see a difference. But I've got a couple of clients that I've known for like years, like decades. How old am I? And they're still, their posture is still great. It's one particular client that I see regularly. She's also become a friend. And she's got, she looks younger now than she did when I first started training her 20 years ago, just from her posture.
Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it's amazing. So that's, and what I was saying was, just start with six, and I would start without a weight, because it really can make you a bit sore if you just launch into it and do three sets of 15 with, you don't need a heavy weight either. So start with your hands and literally just get the movement right, the technique.
Just get that movement, yeah.
Yeah, get the movement. So you want to go into a V, and you don't want to go as far as your chin, because you don't want to knock yourself out.
Yeah, what's that one called again?
Upright row.
Upright row. Okay. Yeah, we're going to add this as well. It's one that my trainer told me as well to do, and I think I avoided it because you have to find a different clip on the cable machine.
Just do it with weight. Just do it. Yes, you can do it. You have to find a different clip. It's about from the bottom, and it's like you don't know what you're doing. It's a whole hassle, and then
exactly.
And then you've got the clip away. There's a clip missing, and yeah.
And then people are watching, right? And then you're like, okay, I just do something else.
No one's watching you. This is the That's thing
true,
I have,
isn't it?
Because everyone's so interested in themselves.
Yeah,
like watching themselves. And I know with clients, you say to me, but you know, I'll come to you once a week, but I want to go and work out in the gym, but I'm too embarrassed. You know, people are watching me, and I'm like, I said, who do you watch when you're in the gym? And they say, I don't, I'm looking at myself. I said, that's everyone. Everyone's self-conscious.
Yes.
Everyone. And how often do you look in the gym and think, oh, she doesn't look nice? What you do is you think, oh, she looks great, and he looks great. So no one's looking to be negative.
Yeah.
I don't think about people. So just remember, everyone's so into themselves.
They are.
That takes a lot of pressure.
Anyway.
Yes.
Like,
and I've said that to clients. It's taken all the pressure off this being so self-conscious. And because it's daunting to walk into a gym and, you know, especially in the weights area sometimes, depending on which, you know, which sort of bulked up people are.
Yeah, absolutely. And is there any kind of, how would you progress this? So where would you start if you're using, let's say, free weights, for example, and then what is there a maximum that you would go up to?
Yeah, I mean, I would start with free weights at 1 or 2 kilos, depending on where you're at with your fitness level. Let's just say you're beginner, so let's go with that. I would start with, first of all, the technique. So if you're doing free weights, I'd start without a weight. Make sure you get that movement right.
Mm-hmm.
Once you've got the movement right, add a kilo. Too light, go with 2 kilos. And then once you can do 3 sets of 20 and it's really easy, take it to 4 kilos. Personally, I wouldn't, if you haven't had surgery, you don't really have so many limitations apart from yourself and how you're going to feel. I really wouldn't go, if you're doing free weight flies, for example, probably wouldn't take it over 5K each on each hand. If you have had surgery, probably 4s at the max. But when you're starting back to, when you start back after having surgery, I don't know if any of your, if you're anyone here has or watching is about to have surgery or has just had it, it's completely different. You've got to start so slowly. Really, really slow. It's tiny movements. It's being able to just hold positions, first of all, without finding out how each movement is going to affect you. What, you know, do you need any different because you've been straightened? Do you need different props? I know, Christine, you're very into using lots of props, which is great on your back, so that your clients are comfortable. But when they've had, after they've had their fusion surgery, they might find they need, they their back's completely different and they need to tweak it.
Yeah.
I
Yeah,
woke up from
exactly.
my surgery, I'd never felt the left-hand side of my back. I'd never laid flat in my life. And I woke up and I just remember thinking, oh my goodness, I can feel the left-hand side of me. It was amazing. But
Yeah.
until then, I'd always had a bit of a, it would have been since something, I don't know, my body decided to, don't get scared that I had three surgeries. I'm quite unusual. It's not
Yeah.
usual.
And you were saying that one of them actually, and we did talk about it a little bit before as well, that one of them was because you did a back bend in a
Yes.
gymnastics class or something like
It was
that.
Joe. I didn't. I was in an exercise class. It was the end of it, and
Oh,
I
you
was
were just
showing
showing
off.
off.
Oh yes, I've got my rod, and I'm fine. Look at me. Went like whoops. Went like that. So my TRX had to come down.
Yeah.
And went back. I mean, what can I say? It was
Yeah.
a stupid
But
thing
to
to
be fair,
do.
you hadn't been given any guidance, right?
No, I
They
was told, do
just kind
whatever
of
you like.
said, do
Do
whatever
what you
you
like.
like, come back when you have a problem.
Oh, I was told these are the guide as I was told. I was told these were the guidelines. You can't do show jumping. You can't be a hairdresser.
Right.
You can't continue. I was at London College of Fashion doing pattern cutting and design. You can't be a pattern cutter because you're cutting fabric and tracing patterns on a massive desk, and you're going to be like this and bent over. And you can't do that full stop. And I remember being mortified. I was a teenager, and when I was told that I'd probably have to have a surgery, and it was in front of my parents, and he had no bedside manner, my surgeon. He just went, oh, and you can't have sex for 6 months. And I remember being
At
absolutely,
15
I just
or like
wanted,
twenty.
I was like, I remember being absolutely horrified. So that was the advice my surgeon, that was it.
That was it, yeah,
That
but nothing
was
about.
it. That was nothing else. And I would say, I know that there are long waiting lists for the NHS, but I think the NHS is such a great way to go for your surgery
Yeah.
if you can.
And we are very lucky in this country here, yeah, definitely
We're
for.
very, very lucky. I had my second surgery was private, and the floor that I was put on, the nurses didn't have a clue, and they were about to sit me up a few hours after me waking up, and you can't sit up afterwards. And I knew that from the first surgery. So they had to put a call into the surgeon who said, no, don't sit her up. So it's not always great. I know the waiting lists are shorter, but actually, and if you've got insurance, it's one thing, but I think if you get into a really good NHS hospital like Stanmore Orthopaedic, where they do this all the time, every day, and you can't even get better.
Yeah, absolutely, definitely.
Yeah.
Good. So is there anything we talked a little bit about the machines obviously that we don't want to do. Is there anything else where you're like, no?
I would say sit-ups,
Okay.
full sit-ups. I never give any clients at all.
And this would be like a Pilates roll up, for example, from the floor, and
Yes,
then,
or if you're
I mean,
completely flat on the floor
yeah.
and you happen to bring your body up, yes, from the floor, I would completely avoid that regardless.
Yeah.
If you've had surgery,
Yeah,
that's a
this.
no.
No.
Also, my other thing is, when you're doing your lower abs, and I like props, like I actually use my hands quite a lot to put under, like under sort of above where your glutes, where your bum basically meets your thighs. I always have my hands there because I use that as a wedge.
To
But one
stabilize you,
thing,
yeah.
yes, but one thing I don't like is when you're lying flat and you're taking your feet from the floor upwards.
Straight leg,
Yes.
yeah.
And I would say is if you're starting back from depending on where your fusion is, or even with scoliosis generally, you can start doing those by actually reversing it and bringing your feet towards, having them up with your knees bent and bringing them towards your face a little bit.
Yeah.
So
going the other way. It's a lot of load, isn't it? Otherwise.
Yes. It's all about the loading, and it's about the technique. It's a big difference between lifting anything and you're not engaging your core, you're not engaging those abs, which is so important. Hmm. And so the other tip I would give with your spine is the Superman exercise, where you've got your opposite hand to opposite leg, it's one of the best exercises for spines. Yeah. You know, but I always say to clients who have problems, especially if they've got, like we were saying, with degenerative spine, with osteoporosis, crumbling spine, and you also need to get those muscles really strong. If you think about a baby before they sit up, they're crawling. Mm-hmm. And one of the best things you can do, especially if you've got slight disc protrusion and you're really having to be careful, is put on a music track and build up to 3 minutes, which is what would normally be the length of one. Crawl forward for 10, crawl back for 10,
oh, yeah.
Crawl forward for 10, crawl back for 10. That is going to strengthen your spine.
Mm. Yeah, that's another one that my trainer made me do. And there were some other more advanced ones, but they start in crawling, which I found quite interesting. And then
there's
somewhere you then turn as well. But yeah. So what are the kind of the mistakes that you see? Like somebody with scoliosis, what mistakes do they sometimes make in the gym or when they train?
I think being a sheep, going into a class and just following what they're too embarrassed to say anything.
Yeah.
And they try and follow everything the teacher is saying. Mm-hmm. And then not wanting to lose face by not wanting to join in, but then suffering afterwards.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I see this very often, and it seems to be kind of, I don't know what it is, but we want to please. A lot of us are people pleasers, right?
Yes,
and
I agree with you.
We want to be the good girl in a class. We don't want to make a fuss, and just kind of get on with things and just be quiet in the background, isn't it?
Well, which is why your classes are so important, because whenever I've also done Christine's classes, and even though it's a group class, she's so specific. You're so specific and individual for each person. It works. There's so many alternatives. Where if you go to a normal class, I'm a trainer, so if I go to a class and I can't do stuff, I'm quite okay to just sit.
Yeah.
I'll sit. Yeah. What I do is I'm going to have a stretch. You can't do something. Just go into a nice, back stretch.
Yeah.
Pose the child.
Just do something that is really obviously not the thing that they're doing at the moment. Because then the teacher knows you're doing it on purpose, right?
Yes, exactly. And tell the teacher when you get in there, go straight up and say, I have trouble with certain positions. So just understand that I'm going to just sit those out and do my own stretch and then join in when I can.
Yeah.
Just don't push yourself, because no one else is going to suffer apart from you. Mm. You're going to feel.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and it happens a lot.
Yeah,
like said, I had this. We want to please.
I had this the other day in a, it was a body pump class. And there's one exercise, we were in a side plank and she had us use the weights and then kind of do a twist and go under. And I opt out of things like this, because I know if I do a loaded twist, and especially asymmetric on the side plank, it's not going to end well, right? I know my body enough that that's not a good idea.
Yes.
So I just moved my arm a little bit. I was in the side plank and I just moved my arm up and down. And then she did come over and she said, no, that's not what we're doing. We're doing some, you have to do this.
Yeah.
And I said, no, thank you. It's okay. I'm just going to adapt it like this. And then it's fine as well, isn't it? Because they want to be helpful at the end of the day.
Yes. Yes.
But you have to stand up for yourself, really, isn't it?
You do, yes. And then I just wanted to add the other piece of equipment that's really amazing is TRX.
Yes, yeah.
I'm a massive fan of TRX.
Tell us a little bit. You've got it there, haven't you?
I've actually got one here. I'm going to undo it.
See a little strap dangling down. Because the only thing I know to do is like, you know, when you're leaning back and then pulling yourself
the
up.
The row.
Whatever that is called. Yes,
there's also so a row, isn't it? There's so much you can do with this.
Yeah.
Here we go. Just bear with me for a second. Just pulling it through. Here we go.
There we are. And it's something that you can put anywhere as well, isn't it? I might get myself one because it's not a big, it's not bulky, you know, it doesn't take up a lot of space or anything.
Correct. I mean, I don't use the door support with my clients, but when you buy the TRX, there is a door, so you can use it on a door.
Okay. Yeah.
I've got it properly put into the ceiling with the proper piece of equipment. Yeah. And I would say is TRX is not the cheapest and there are a lot of copies around. The thing is they have patented this and it's so good that I had to do an advert for someone and it was a copy, but the foot cradles, for example, were too big. So my feet kept slipping out. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I would say if you're going to get one, get the real thing. Get the real thing. But I mean, these are really good. You can do your squats with these. This works for the whole body.
Somebody's saying I love squats with a TRX.
Yeah, there we go. And the thing is, you're quite in control with the TRX. And also, a lot of the exercises, you're in a plank position. So you're standing in a plank position. If you're on the floor, you're in a plank position. So for any of us with scoliosis, it's fantastic because a lot of the exercises, only a couple of them, you're lying on your back.
Mm.
So in terms of comfort, it's great. And there's so many things you can do with this. I love it.
Yeah. You know, Becca's saying, we have one at the gym, but I didn't know what it was. So tell us something that Becca can do next time she goes to the gym.
Okay.
Something easy.
Just move my bench out of the way and you can see me. So you can start, I can't actually see my feet, but my feet are straight and I'm almost on my heels.
Yeah, that's the one I was talking about,
that's
wasn't it?
The row.
Yeah.
Keeping your shoulders down.
That's the only thing that I know to do.
Then you've got your feet flat and you can go into your squat.
Yeah.
Making sure you're not coming forward.
Yes.
Okay. Upright. You can go into a squat. You can also go into your lunge.
Yeah.
You can do your curtsies with it. So you're working your legs.
Yeah.
You can come onto one leg, bring your knee up, coming back.
Mm.
And then you can also, how am I going to do this? Demonstrate. Having my back with you. You can also do turn it around and you can do a press up on it. I wonder if I can do it this way. So yeah, here we go. I can do it like this. Just about bring it this way. I'm doing a press up.
All right, you're going out.
Yeah, but not too far.
Yeah.
I'm doing a press up on it. You can also, this is actually, I've got it set up on my studio to work the other way. But you can also put it underneath. So you've got it under your arms and you come forward, take your feet, take your feet back. I mean, it's not something I can really demonstrate it on.
Sure. I put you on the spot around there as well, a little bit.
there are so many things that you can do with this. And it moves you up and down so you can take it longer and have your feet in the feet cradles on the floor as well. So you can go into, let's say, a high plank with your feet in the stirrups and bringing your knees in and out. It's advanced.
Yes.
But it's, once you've got the strength in your upper body, it really, I mean, it's great. It helps you build strength.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, no, that sounds good. Becca, that gives you some ideas next time you're at the gym. Make sure you don't just walk by the TRX.
Yeah, just start off. I'd start off with a row and maybe a squat.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Great. Brilliant. That's amazing, Caroline. Thank you so much. Anything else that you want to tell us? Anything else that we need to know?
I think
before we finish for today.
I think it's really don't be feel pressured to do anything at the gym that you're not going to feel comfortable with. I think that's the main thing. And ask. If you don't know how one of the machines works, ask and get somebody to help you. There should be someone around who will help.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. And if even if they don't know, they will probably not know about scoliosis. I think we just kind of have to accept this. They probably won't know, but they can tell you about good form, and they can tell you about, you know, where you should be feeling it. At least.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. The other one I like is the upright Roman chair for your abs. Have you seen the machine? It's a straight machine, stands on its own. It's got pads for the elbows, and you bring your knees up and down. And I find that's quite good.
Okay.
You have to be quite strong to do it.
Yes.
And you have to make sure your shoulders don't sink in.
Yeah, so you're holding yourself, and then you're it's only your legs are.
That's right. It's just, I always look for things where clients of mine are not necessarily going to be lying on their backs, because quite a lot of people find it really uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable.
Yeah. So
brilliant. Okay, I think you've given us a lot of things to do, things to explore in the gym. I'm definitely taking quite a few tips away from this.
Show us
your book, The Scoliosis Handbook. Everybody should have this. Really, really good. And not just for post-surgery. I think it's just very good general advice as well. You've revised this over the years, isn't it? I think we've known each other for, I don't know, five, 6 years.
Yes, we must have done.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have. And Christine's actually written in the book, in the new version as well, which should be coming out in the autumn. It's got a few more chapters in there.
Ooh, brilliant. So it's a new edition then. Exciting.
A new edition, yes. So that's good. Thank you for contributing to that, Christine.
Yeah, no problem. No, it's a pleasure.
And
I think we need more people obviously talking about this. And as I said, I spoke to a lady today again, and she said she's in Texas, and she said there's nobody here. And I'm sure there will be some people, but they're difficult to find. So obviously the more we kind of spread the awareness and help other trainers, obviously, and this is a big thing that you're doing obviously as well.
I've written a course on what to do with with clients with scoliosis, because there's no guidelines. A lot of
trainers,
they do the course, and they do. Yes, we will.
So we'll put it underneath. You can probably get it on Amazon, isn't it?
Yes, you can.
I'll link it in the description if Phoebe hasn't done so already.
Thank you.
And thank you so much, Caroline.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on today. It's lovely to be on Back Chat again.
Yes.
Really enjoyed it.
All right.
And thanks for everyone's questions.
Yes. Amazing. Thank you, everyone. And we'll see you very soon. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, I would be super grateful if you could leave me a 5-star rating and review, which will help me to create lots more amazing content. If you have any questions or suggestions, reach out to me on Instagram at yogaberry.scoliosis or visit my website at www.yogaberry.net.